dripping from a bowl of unspoiled blue. Just as he entered the main building, Ryan heard the roar of an engine and glimpsed a dune wag with huge tires driving out past the forge. It was the first sign of anything approaching modern life that he'd seen for days. The distant rumbling of a powerful generator was almost drowned by the humming of an air conditioning plant just inside the main doorway. The cool air struck Ryan like the touch of a whip, refreshing after the sullen heat outside. Pushed and jostled, all he could do was snatch an impression of the building, offices and living quarters, with guns on walls, barred doors, and two sets of guards to pass. He was shoved through a double sec door and found himself inside a jail, but a jail that obviously doubled as a torture chamber. A smoldering fire in a metal brazier had several long implements resting in the coals, long rods, some with curved or hooked ends, and handles wrapped in rags to protect the user from the heat. There were several whips in a rack, and a long shelf held all manner of knives and scalpels, pincers and hammers, tools for the giving of pain, in so many differing ways. It was like the workshop of some demented and sadistic psychotic. Another pair of guards had appeared, both holding old cap-and-ball Navy Colts, but Ryan's expert eye spotted that they weren't the decrepit antiques they should have been. These were more modern replicas, handled by men who looked like they knew their trade.
General says against the wall there. Cuff his hands. We'll cover him.
The tall, overweight trooper pushed Ryan against the adobe wall, near a set of iron rings placed at differing heights.
Keep still.
You got a lot of guts. Four of you. Don't take any chances, do you?
He doubled over, dropping to his knees. The trooper lifted his dusty riding boot to slam it into the helpless man's body.
Leave him be, Rourke!
You heard what that bastard said to me!
And you heard the general! Go out to the ghost town and pick up anyone there. Special to pick up the tall bastard with only one eye.
And we got him! Didn't say nothing about him breaking a finger or two.
Ryan regained his breath slowly. He lifted his head and looked at the trooper named Rourke, making sure he'd recognize him if the chance ever came to chill him.
You want to damage the goods, then go ahead. But wait till the rest of us have gotten clear. You've seen the general when he gets mad. Remember Carl Onis? Cut the general stallion when he was grooming him and drunk and all? General filled his mouth with bits of razor steel. Tied some cloth around his face and had it tighten. Bits of bloody metal pushed clean through his cheeks and tongue. Could never speak after that.
Yeah, I know.
And that was for a little mark on his horse. Shit. Think what the general'd do if you spoiled this double-chilled bastard.
Yeah, all right. Let's get him tied proper and leave him.
The steel cuffs had sliding locks that gripped tight and grew even tighter if you pulled against them. One had been placed around each wrist, holding his arms out at an angle. But they had left his feet free. Ryan badly wanted a drink, and his temples pounded like trip hammers. Otherwise, he didn't feel in bad shape. There were no windows in the cell, and the sec men had dimmed the lights before leaving him. He could see across the room by the light of the embers that glowed brightly in the brazier. Ryan had felt his life imperiled many times in his 30-odd years of living. There was no point in giving up until your heart had stopped beating and your vision had dimmed for the last time. But he found it difficult to have much hope. If this General Yellowhair was the swift and evil bastard that he seemed, then he was hardly likely to set Ryan free. But there was a hope. Though the invitation to peace talks had veiled a trap, the sec men couldn't know that. They'd sprung their own ambush too soon. It was just possible that Ryan had been captured to be used as an emissary to the Mescalero for the General's own peace proposals. What screamed against that hopeful view was the conversation by the troopers. Yellowhair had planned the raid purely to get hold of Ryan Cotter.
Why, you fucker? Why do you want me so bad?
The walls of the dungeon were thick, and Ryan could hear nothing of the life going on all around him. Once he caught the clear golden notes of a bugle, sounding what he guessed was probably a call to eat the noon meal. The guard changed shortly after. A sliding panel in the door moved across, and Ryan could see the gleam of light in the passage beyond. Then the panel closed again. The door opened very slowly. The spreading rectangle of light grew broader, filling with the lean silhouette of a man, then shrinking again to blackness.
You are a most welcome visitor to Fort Security, Ryan Carter.
It was worse than the punch to the guts. If they knew his name, then there had to be a traitor in Drowned Squaw Canyon. Nobody else in the Southwest would have recognized him. Unless it was some wandering Mercy, hiring out himself and his blaster, who might have met Ryan when he rode with the traitor.
I've waited some time to see you again.
Not a traitor. Someone from one of a thousand bloody yesterdays. The voice was dry and taut, and there was the hint of an impediment, as though the man had suffered some sort of injury to his jaw or palate.
You have nothing to say, Ryan Carter? Your one eye still works, yes? My gallant troopers have not harmed you, have they? If they have, then I'll... No. No, I see you are not hurt. Except perhaps your pride. You thought the general would fall like a ripe apricot into a maid's hand. Triple stoop, Ryan Carter.
Ryan kept silent. The more Yellowhair talked, the more might be learned. Ryan's night vision had been impaired by the light from the passage when the door was opened. Now it was returning. The general was extremely tall, the top of his flowing hair scraping at the low ceiling of the cell. The light was too dim for Ryan to make out the face, but it seemed to be gaunt and almost skeletal, with a heavy mustache blurring its details.
Still don't feel like chatting, Ryan? What if I were to pluck out that other eye? What then?
Better men than you have tried that threat, Yellowhair. They're dead, and I'm still seeing.
Oh. Good. Very good.
Why don't you go fuck a dead muty sheep, Yellowhair?
No, Ryan. If I shag anyone, it might well be you. But time is wasting. You still don't know me, do you? No, of course you don't. Now, let me take off this foolish wig. There. Now I turn up the light and...
Court Strasser.
Back at the rancheria, man whose eyes see more was drinking clear spring water from an old cup. He staggered suddenly, as though a high-velocity bullet had smashed into his brain. The mug dropped from his limp fingers and burst into a thousand jagged shards, the liquid splashing into the dry earth and vanishing in a dozen heartbeats. At the same moment, Christy ran from the shattered interior of the wiki-up, her fiery hair streaming behind her. Her mouth hung open in a soundless cry of despair, and her green eyes were turned toward the abandoned ghost town in the hills. The shaman's eyes locked with Christie's, and he nodded very slowly. Then he knelt to pick up the sharp pieces of broken pottery. Court Strasser perched himself on the edge of the table, pushing away some ivory-handled tools with obscenely curved steel blades. Now, in the light, Ryan couldn't understand why his memory had been so treacherous. The former sect boss from Moxon had changed little since their last meeting. The skin was still taut across the planed bones of the high, thin skull, a sickly color, like rain-sodden straw. Strasser was nearly bald. Only a wispy fringe of dark hair circled his head, just above the narrow ears. With the exception of the full, curling mustache, everything about Strasser was thin. The eyes, black as jet, were like deep razor cuts. The nose was hooked like a vulture's beak, and the mouth seemed etched with dark acid. In the gaunt face, it was the mouth that had changed the most. The upper lip was crooked and swollen, the jaw not seeming to connect properly. As the sect leader grinned wolfishly at his victim, it was obvious that he had lost teeth, and some of those that remained were jagged. Strasser noticed the way Ryan was studying his face.
You know me now?
Sure. A piece of muty shit like you sticks in the mind like dog crap on a man's boots.
Delightful as always, Ryan. I have followed your name for months. Paid informers to keep track of you.
Yeah?
Indeed, I have. But one of the matters that we must talk together about is where you've been. I've heard word of you from all over Deathlands. Unless there is another one-eyed crazy with some strange companions, then you have moved fast and far.
Can't rightly understand you, Strasser. Seems like there's something wrong with your mouth.
The light in the cell was strong enough for Ryan to see the flush of anger on the thin cheeks. The sec man forced a narrow smile.
I'll soon tell you what I'm going to do to you, Ryan, my old, old friend.
Can't wait.
I hear of you among the Swampies. I hear of you in the wastes of snow to the far north. Then you are wriggling with the worms that live in your roots. A veal in the Shens. But all in such a short time, Ryan. How? Or are they lies? Where have you been since last we met?
Here and there.
There is some trick you know about. Something that is linked to the past. I followed you, Ryan. Followed the stink of your running. Tracked the slime you leave behind you. And there was always a wall at the end of the trail. You were there one moment, and then, like that, you're gone again.
Now I'm here. How come you got away from Moxon? Thought you might have stayed on as Baron.
I'd wanted that. I was about to chill that stinking cup of guts to Orden Teague. I was sec boss for him, if you recall. Then you come riding in with a traitor, and it all goes up in fire. The whole ville wiped out like snow on a griddle.
Always did have a way with words, Strasser.
You rescued my beloved pigfucker, Doc. He with you now? And the muty girl with red hair? And that little bastard with eyeglasses, Dix? You all still together?
There was no real reason to lie to Strasser, but if he didn't know about Laurie or Jack, then there wasn't any point in telling him. Just the four of us.
You know, I couldn't believe my eyes when I spotted you on that ridge. Thought you'd been delivered to me. The answer to my prayers. Then those sons of bitches come on their ponies and save you. But now, here you are.
How come you're General Yellowhair, Strasser? Animal like you, running at the head of a pack of other animals? Strasser stood and walked around the room, slightly stooped beneath a low ceiling.
Had me some small difficulty in Kansas. The local baron had more blasters than I'd figured, so I chilled his wife, sister, and all his mewling daughters and lit out south and west. Came across these good old boys sporting around the old museum. Read up some. General George Armstrong Custer. So, a yellow wig, wasted one or two, thought they should run the show, and now I run it. Easy as that. Just as fucking easy as that.
Now what?
You mean with you and me?
What do you plan to do, now that you run this? You're a bastard baron of nothing, Strasser. Just a handful of dry red dust.
Go a few days east, Ryan, and there's some serious power in Jack. I got me nearly 50 sec men who do what I tell them. This cavalry crap works, Ryan. Would you believe it? But it fucking well works.
The obsidian chips of Strasser's eyes closed in ecstasy, and he hugged himself with long, thin arms. Ryan eased his wrists against the crushing steel of the cuffs. What about the Apaches?
Oh, little red bastards? Well, been doing some work on old maps they got in the museum that show water runs in this part. In another few days, I'll find where their water supply comes from. I know they got a canyon hole up someplace, and I got me some paraquat additives from the redoubt yonder. Government used to poison marijuana crops with it. I pour it in, and goodbye to the little red fuckers. Neat, huh, Ryan?
Then you and your sec army moves out and grabs a bigger piece of action. Yeah, Strasser, I figure I get it.
Ah, hear that? Meeting of sec officers, Ryan, my old comrade. We have a patrol going out this evening to try to track down the canyon where the Apache live. I must give them their orders, but I shall return later. This is a moment that I've anticipated for such a long time, Ryan. I don't want to spoil it by being in too much of a hurry. Later we can talk some more. You talk, and I'll listen. Then you can tell me how to get to the Indian Rancheria and all about that old imbecile Doc. There's something about him that I'd... Well, but that will come later.
The tall and lean figure paused and adjusted the flowing blonde wig so that the golden locks tumbled over his shoulders.
I won't leave you alone. Got an old reel-to-reel audio recorder. Temperamental, but I use it for a kind of, oh, memory of folks I've had in here for a talk. I'll play you the last one. He was an Apache.
The machine, layered in dust, stood on a low shelf beyond the brazier. It had twin spools of tape and a thick primitive wire running to a socket, connecting it with the generator supply to the fort. It took a great deal of poking and fiddling before